And so, Jesus, we do worship you. Our applause is because you are great. And there is nothing in this world that could ever begin to compare to the glory, to the beauty, to the wonder of who you are. And so, Jesus, we worship you, and in comparison, we say, I can have all this world. Just give us Jesus. And so, Jesus, we welcome you to open the eyes of our hearts by your Spirit to lead us into truth, that we would see that this world is not our home. We'd be kingdom people. So, Jesus, captivate our hearts as we open your word, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Thank you. All may be seated. And at this time, the children from 3 years old to sixth grade would be dismissed for children's church. For those children who are going, parents who are sending them, if they have jackets, it was sent out in an email yesterday, if they have jackets, please send them with them now, because pickup this morning will be in the parsonage backyard. So if you're coming out the back doors, yard right over there, you'll see a bunch of kids. You probably saw some cones this morning. So children's church will end over there. So if you have children, that's where to pick them up. And if since it is a little chillier and they have a coat, send it with them this morning. Go get it to them if they don't have it. All right. Invite you to open a Bible, if you have one, to the book of Colossians. Colossians chapter 1, if you find the beginning of the New Testament, the book of Matthew, you have the four Gospels, Mark, Luke, John, Acts, Romans, two Corinthian letters, then Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, and then Colossians. Colossians chapter 1 is where we will start. We'll look at two passages this morning as we continue this series on Kingdom Come. This morning, talking about kingdom citizenship. Kingdom citizenship. And so if you've been around the church for a long time, I feel like I was practically born at church. You may have heard the phrase, we are in the world, but we are not of the world. How many of you have heard that phrase? You're in the world, but you're not of the world. And so if you're newer to church, you haven't heard it, all that means is that the way we live as Christians in everyday life on this earth is different than those that are not Christians. And so we live here, but we don't live like the people that aren't believers in Christ here. That we live on this earth, though this earth is not our home. And so we're in the world, but we're not of the world. Now, when I was growing up, the way I came to understand that revolved primarily around behavior. That these are the things that Christians do, and these are the things that non-Christians do, and so don't do the things that non-Christians do, and do the things that Christians do, if that makes any sense. And that usually came in the areas of the vices of life, the entertainment choices, the way you practice sexuality, the way morality affects life in general. And so those were the big areas that I heard growing up. This is how you are to act. This is how you are to behave, because you're, as a Christian, in the world, but you're not of the world. You don't live and behave like everyone else. But what I've learned as I've grown up, and as I've grown in my faith in Christ, is that being in the world but not of the world is not primarily and firstly about behavior. First and foremost, it's about your identity or your citizenship in the kingdom of God. You're in the world, but you're not of the world, which eventually will lead to behavior. But if we get behavior as what it's all about, what ends up happening is we end up having maybe proper behavior, but it turns into a legalistic kind of thing of do this, don't do that. And if you do all that, then you're doing well. If you don't do all that, well, then shame on you. And you end up getting guilted into doing the right thing rather than because it's who you are. So this morning, as we talk about this idea of kingdom citizenship, as we talk about this concept of being in the world but not of the world, we're going to look at really three areas. We're going to look at a scriptural explanation first, then a practical application, and then conclude with a modern-day illustration. Kind of looked this way a couple weeks ago. So let's start with a scriptural explanation. We're going to look at two passages. The first I told you already, Colossians chapter 1, 13 to 14, and 1 Peter chapter 2, 9 through 12. And so in this scriptural explanation, there's a lot we could say about this explanation from Scripture of kingdom citizenship. But really, I want to highlight four areas this morning. The first is that this begins, our kingdom citizenship begins with an understanding that we have been involved, if you're a believer in Jesus Christ, in kingdom rescue. Here's what I mean by that. In Colossians chapter 1, the Apostle Paul is writing to the church in a city named Colossae. And as he began many of his letters, he begins with thanksgiving, and he begins with something that he is praying for those believers, these Colossian believers. And as he's praying and as he's giving thanks to the Lord, beginning in verse 12, just to give you a little bit of the context of what 13 and 14 are saying, it says, giving thanks to the Father, he's praying and giving thanks at the same time, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints in the kingdom of light. Another way to say the kingdom of God or the kingdom of heaven is the kingdom of light. And so Paul is saying he's giving thanks to the Father who's qualified these believers in Colossae to share in the inheritance of the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of light. And here's why. The reason he gives thanks is because there was a rescue that took place. Verse 13. For he has rescued us from the dominion of darkness. Let that sink in for a second. He has rescued us from the dominion, or it's another way of saying kingdom, of darkness. See, the reality of Scripture tells us this, that all have sinned and all have fallen short of the glory of God. Amen? And because all have sinned, and even because of Adam and Eve's sin, we have been born into sin. We have been born spiritually dead and separated from God. We have been born into the kingdom of darkness. That's sobering, isn't it? That every single one of us, we see these beautiful children, so sweet, so innocent, the miracle of life. And yet, at the same time, the reality is that they have been born into the kingdom of darkness. And so if you're today here and you're not a follower of Jesus, if you're watching on Facebook or you're listening through the week, and you would say, I've never made the decision to trust Christ as my Savior, to repent of my sin, to trust Christ's work on the cross and his resurrection to overcome sin and death and the devil, and I've turned from my ways of living and I've turned to Christ, I've placed my faith in Christ, the reality is that you today are living in the kingdom of darkness. That's a sobering reality, isn't it? But the good news is, if you're here today and you're listening today, you're watching today, is that that doesn't have to continue. I'll tell you in a second. And if you are a believer today, if you've made that decision to trust Christ, understand this. This is who you were. You were a member of the kingdom of darkness. For all people, no matter where they live, no matter what nation they are a part of, every single person on the face of this earth at one time or another has shared the citizenship commonality of being a resident of the kingdom of darkness. But here's the good news. says, for he has rescued us from the dominion or kingdom of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves. Is there anybody excited about that? He has brought us from, he has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves, the kingdom of light, in whom we have redemption. And many translations will say redemption through his blood. So it's the work on the cross of Christ's blood shed for us. Redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sin, thereby transferring us, rescuing us from the kingdom of darkness and bringing us into his kingdom. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. You may not recognize this, but when you came to Christ, if you have come to Christ, you were spiritually transported from the kingdom of darkness, where Satan was your ruler, where sin had bound you, where death hung over you, and you have been transformed. You have been transferred. You have been rescued into the kingdom of God through the work of Jesus Christ. You have been made new. Sin is no longer your ruler. Satan is no longer your master. The Lord Jesus is. There has been a rescue, a kingdom rescue. And so this scriptural explanation of kingdom citizenship comes from this beginning of we once were, but now we have been brought into, rescued from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of Christ. And today, if you would say, I've never crossed over, today is the day to be able to place your faith in Christ, to say, Jesus, you're my king. I'm not going to live my old way, I'm going to place my faith in Christ. You're going to be my Savior. And when Jesus does that, he does the work of forgiving. He does the work of setting us free. He does the work of rescue. I just feel led to say that there is no one who cannot be rescued. If you're sitting here today or listening and you're saying, well, I cannot be rescued. It's impossible. Who I am, what I've done, where I am, where I've been, is impossible for rescue. I'm too far gone. I'm in the kingdom of darkness, and that's just where I'm going to be. That does not have to be true. Jesus can rescue anyone. So this citizenship idea of being a citizen of the kingdom, excuse me one second, of being a citizen of the kingdom begins with kingdom rescue. When this happens, I invite you, if you're in Colossians, to make your way towards the end of the Bible. You'll 1st and 2nd Thessalonians, 1st and 2nd Timothy, Titus, Philemon, Hebrews, James, then 1st Peter. To 1st Peter chapter 2. 1st Peter chapter 2, we're going to look at verses 9 through 12 to flesh out what happens as a result of this kingdom rescue. First Peter chapter 2, verses 9 and 10, Peter says this, but you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God, that you may declare the praise of him who called you out of darkness. You hear, one is Paul speaking, now this is Peter speaking, using the same language, called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. Once you were not a people, but now you are the people of God. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. What happens as a result of kingdom rescue? Well, now you get kingdom identity. Now you get a kingdom identity, and the kingdom identity is, after being rescued, it's an identity based on being a citizen of the kingdom of God. We're no longer what others say or what I say about myself is what is true anymore of me. What matters and what is true is what he says of you. And what he says of you is that if you are a chosen people, you are a royal priesthood, you are a holy nation, a nation that supersedes, that is a new created nation, a nation that supersedes any earthly nationality. You are a people belonging to God so that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. Once you were not a people, but now you are. the people of God. Your identity is now higher than anything that would identify you on this earth. Hear that, because that's going to be important when we get to the applications. Your identity is higher and more important than anything that identifies you here on this earth. It's a new identity, a kingdom identity. And not only is it a new identity, it's a kingdom belonging. From those same verses, you see those words. You see those words that we have a new identity, but it gives us a place to belong. We belong not to a place, we belong to a person. A people belonging to who? To God. We belong to Him. We are His possession. We have become citizens in His kingdom. It's not just a nation to belong to, it's a person to belong to. If you've ever felt like you don't belong, if you ever felt like you were an outsider looking in, it's no longer true. You belong to God. Your citizenship is in heaven. It's a kingdom citizenship, having been chosen by Him, a full citizen of the kingdom of God through Christ. I told you when I heard those words, I'm in the world but not of the world, I focused on what? What did I say? Behavior. Well, after being rescued, after having a new identity, after having a kingdom to belong to that is higher than anything on this earth, now it results in the last thing. Behavior is the result of these things. Look at verses 11 through 12. Dear friends, I urge you, these are also identity words, as aliens and strangers in the world. In the world, but not of the world, right? Aliens and strangers in the world. To abstain, here's the behavior, abstain from sinful desires which war against your soul. Live such good lives among the pagans that though they accuse you of doing wrong, they may see your good deeds and glorify God on the day He visits us. The result of rescue, identity, and belonging, the citizenship change, is that now you have a new citizenship. You are an alien and a stranger in the world. You belong to another kingdom. Therefore, your behaviors, your values, your thinking, it's all going to be different. I don't know if when you came to Christ, if you came to Christ, if anybody told you this, but when you come to Christ, there are ways you're going to look strange. Aliens and strangers in a land look different than everybody else. Why? We don't belong here. You're of another kingdom. It's interesting. Leah asked this morning, how many of you have been on mission trips? Well, I was going to illustrate this by saying when you go on a mission trip, and I've been to three other countries on mission trips, other cultures, you go there, and people look at you, and they're like, you're kind of weird. I went to Mexico, and, you know, I have hair on my arms. A lot of you have hair on your arms, men. Hair on your arms, a lot of it. In Mexico, they don't really have hair on their arms. The people would come up to you, and they just look at you for a second, and they'd put their hand on you and start going like this. They like start petting you, and then they'd laugh. And Spanish is not my greatest suit. And so all these people would, these dear Mexican brothers and sisters would gather around, and they'd start petting your arm, and they'd all start laughing. You're like, what is going on? What is wrong with me? What are they thinking? What are they saying? They're laughing. They're having a conversation together. And then you get somebody translated like, oh, they just don't see arm hair. And they think it's kind of funny. We recognize this when you're in another nation, when you're in another culture, there are things that are different. That you go and you're like, that's weird. Or they look at you and they go, you're weird. Why? Because you're a stranger in another culture. You're a stranger in another nation. You don't fully fit there until you understand why things are the way they are. It's the same thing. Here on this earth, our identity, our belonging, the fact that we have been rescued from the kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of light means our behavior is going to be different. The things we do are going to be different. The things we don't do are going to be different. It's because our citizenship is in the kingdom of God. So I told you that we would start with a scriptural explanation, and then we'd move to a scriptural or practical application. I approached this morning, this application, with humility and with a bit of, at times, I would say, trepidation as I come to this. But I really believe that these are things that the Lord wants us to pay attention to. There are many things, because more than ever we need to be kingdom people who live out our kingdom citizenship. There are many things that we could talk about of what these applications are. They apply to things like our family life, our work life, how we deal with money, what materialism looks like, how we use our leisure, what we engage in. But I believe in the days that we're living, that the application needs to be narrowed down to two key areas. And in both of these, the practical application is this, and I've mentioned this already, is that the kingdom of God and our citizenship in heaven is above everything. So the two areas I believe to talk about and to apply this morning are this. Kingdom above first country. Now hear me when I talk about this. Kingdom of God above country. See, today I believe that many Christians are more American-minded than we are kingdom-minded. More American-minded than kingdom-minded. To the point that it's almost as if America and the kingdom of God are the same. Are synonymous. Now, friends, hear me. There is nothing wrong with patriotism. There's nothing wrong with loving your country. There's nothing wrong with serving your country. Yesterday, I did the funeral service for Steve Habe. And at the end of the service, he served in both World War II and in the Korean War. In the United States Army, the Merchant Marines, and the United States Air Force. Imagine that. Three branches of the Army in two conflicts he served. And at the end of the service, we went outside. The American Legion was there, and they played taps, and they shot off the guns, and they folded the flag, and they brought the flag to his son. And those are always moving experiences as you see and as you honor a man or a woman who has given themselves in service to their country. And so in no way is this saying that you don't honor those people. That service of country and patriotism and loving your country are not good things. But what it is saying is that when country becomes national superiority or pride that elevates our country and denigrates others, we have come to a place of country above kingdom. When we begin to think that America is somehow God's favorite, that the 330 million people that live here somehow are more favored than the almost 7 billion people around the world, I believe we're not seeing God's heart for the nations. When it limits your concern and your burden for the lost around the world, when it causes you to to not see problems in our own country because that would somehow say that our country is not good. When these and many other things become our priority, country has taken over kingdom. I told you I'd come with this humility, right? And with a little bit of trepidation. And just look at the second one. Party. And when I'm not talking about going to a party, I'm talking about political party. Kingdom above political party. Friends, I want to be very clear this morning that Jesus is not a Republican and Jesus is not a Democrat. When you look at the agendas, there is not one agenda that fully aligns with the kingdom. The Republican agenda has things that are really good and that are kingdom-oriented. The Democratic agenda, there are things that are good and align with a kingdom agenda. But there is not one party that has it all right. Friends, we're heading into, it's just going to get uglier as we go in these last couple months leading up to, what is it, November the 3rd? It's just going to get uglier as we go. So I hope you got your safety belts strapped on there. And it's one of the reasons why I think we need to recognize our kingdom citizenship, because we need to stand out differently. But when we go, when I go, when you go to the voting booth, from the president to our Senate, to our Congress, to our local leaders, state leaders, we need to head to the voting booth, I believe, with scripture and prayer guiding the way we vote. Not out of a foregone conclusion. For many people, for many Christians, the political party and the kingdom of God, again, have become almost synonymous. And the reason I say that is three things I've observed. The first is this. Too many have become more influenced by their political party than by the kingdom when our talking points resemble politicians and news networks rather than scripture. Okay, let me say that again. Here's why I say this. That for many, their political party and the kingdom of God have become almost synonymous. That too many Christians have become more influenced by their party than the kingdom of God when our talking points resemble politicians and news networks and not scripture. Second reason I believe this is when our attitude is characterized more by hatred for the other side of the aisle than for love, than love. Do you realize that there are people, Christians, who speak hatred towards the other side of the aisle? Friends, you don't have to agree with them, but what does Jesus say? We're to love our enemies. We're to do good to those who hate us. We're to do good to those who oppose us. If we really take the kingdom seriously, these are realities. So we don't have to agree, but we can't be known by hate. We need to be known by love. And third, and this, all of these go to both sides. All of these go by both sides. Third reason I believe that that Christians and their political party and the kingdom of God become synonymous, and this is the one of these hot button things that are all around us, is when we support either police or black lives to the exclusion of the other because that's the side our party has chosen. Okay, hear what I'm saying again. When we when we support either police or black lives to the exclusion of the other because that's the side our party has chosen. Friends, we have to be above it. We have to be able to love and to minister to both. Why? And hear me, because I know this does not settle well for a lot of us. But hear me. When we are of another kingdom, when we are aliens and strangers in the world, we should not be defined by anything that this world has created. We should be defined by the kingdom of God and by the ways of our King. The only way the kingdom is going to come is through our King. The only way our kingdom is going to come is through our King. You can support your party. You can love your country. And I hope that you do. But it has to be the kingdom above everything. The kingdom above everything. Please hear me. I'm not advocating for anything except that we live out of our kingdom citizenship. God's people are called to live at a higher level. So, brothers and sisters, let's live there. Let that determine how we live, not these earthly things. There's only one thing that will never pass away, and that's the kingdom of God. Modern day illustration. So some of you may think that I'm not wanting to be involved in politics at all or anything like that. So just so you know, I spent time watching different nights, both conventions, Democrat and Republican. On one of the nights that I tuned in to part of the Republican convention, you may have seen this if you watched it, there was a naturalization ceremony for, I believe, 5 immigrants who had come to the United States who were wanting to become citizens of the United States. Did anybody see that? Okay. If you saw that, I watched, and you know, I've heard about these, and I've seen snippets and stuff like that. But I was just amazed as those 5 individuals, I believe, stood there, and they took the oath of citizenship. Have you ever read the oath of citizenship to the United States of America if you are not a United States citizen? How many of you are familiar with it? Okay, a few of you. I had heard snippets, but I was kind of shocked, honestly. Like, not bad, but I was just like, boy, this is intense. Here it is. I hereby declare on oath that I absolutely and entirely renounce. Renounce means I give up all allegiance completely to publicly. And I abjure, you gotta love some of this language, right? And I abjure, so I gotta make sure I'm telling you the right things. So renounce is formally declare one's abandonment of a claim, right, or possession. Abjure means to solemnly renounce a belief, cause, or claim. So absolutely and entirely renounce and abjure all allegiance and fidelity. Fidelity is faithfulness by continued support to any foreign prince, potentate, state, or sovereignty of whom or which I have heretofore been a subject or citizen. Okay, so catch that first part. Here's what you're saying. Is I am completely cutting ties with the country that I was a part of before. Completely. I no longer am identified as that. There are countries that allow you to have dual citizenship. The United States of America is not one of them. It is you are all in or you are not in at all. So think about that from an immigration standpoint. You're leaving your culture, your people, all of these things, into this place, and you're saying, I formally cut myself off from all of that. It's a huge step, isn't it? Huge step. So to any foreign prince, potentate, state, or sovereignty of whom or which I have heretofore been a subject or citizen, that I will support and defend the Constitution and laws of the United States of America against all enemies, foreign and domestic, that I will bear true faith and allegiance to the same, that I will bear arms on behalf of the United States when required by law, that I will perform non-combatant service in the armed forces of the United States when required by law, that I will perform work of national importance under civilian direction when required by the law, and that I take this obligation freely without any mental reservation or purpose of evasion. So help me God. It's pretty, like, I think we would all have to just read that for the first time or see it again and say, it's pretty intense, right? You don't go into that lightly. You don't say, you know what, today I think I'm going to become a citizen of the United States. This is like a well thought out, calculated decision. Obviously, there's tests you have to take and all that kind of stuff, but this is not something you come to and just say, I'm just going to do this. And it really got me thinking, what would it look like if we took our citizenship in the kingdom of God as seriously? Do I take our citizenship in the kingdom of God as seriously? Oftentimes, I believe what happens is when we come to faith in Christ, we're like, yeah, I'll pray a prayer and we're going to go to heaven. Woohoo! Hallelujah! Praise the Lord, I'm going to heaven. But do you realize what we're signing up for as kingdom people? So here's what I did. I kind of took the model of the immigration naturalization thing. And I'm sure I'm missing stuff on this, because there's so much of what we're saying we're going to do when we follow King Jesus, when we're a part of his kingdom. So I kind of wrote it in the spirit of, okay? So here it is. I hereby declare on oath that I absolutely and entirely renounce and abjure all allegiance and fidelity to the kingdom of darkness and any claim Satan seeks to hold on my life. In other words, are you completely done with the ways of the world? Are you completely done with sin and saying, I'm putting one foot in the kingdom and one foot here on earth? This is like, I renounce it all. That I will live according to Scripture and the laws of God and grow in loving union with Christ through obedience. Jesus said in John 14, if you love me, you will obey what I command. That I will live in dependence upon the filling of the Spirit, not live in dependence upon myself and my own strength and my own wisdom, but according to the laws of God and the filling of the Spirit. That I will engage in spiritual warfare against Satan and his demons in order to advance the kingdom of God through prayer with the power and authority of King Jesus. That, and this is so important, I believe, that in love, I will serve and build up fellow believers and preach the gospel to the lost for their salvation. And then I take this obligation freely without any mental reservation or purpose of evasion. So help me God. What would happen if every time a person crossed the line of faith, we said, you realize you're leaving a kingdom. You're being rescued from a kingdom and you're being brought into a new one. Will you live above everything for this kingdom? Will you live for the kingdom of God and King Jesus alone? And everything else will have to find its place under his rule and under his leadership, which means you're still going to live in this world, right? We can't get away from this world. We have to be living in this world. And it's going to affect the way we live in our country. We're going to affect the way we engage in the political realm, how we're going to interact with our family and in our work and in our leisure and in our money and our materialism and in all these things. It's going to affect all of that. Not this, well, when I can fit that into this, then I'll work out it. But no, that is supreme. The kingdom of God is supreme. King Jesus is supreme. And everything else will fall under his leadership. And I will be defined by his kingdom, not by this one. It convicts my heart because I see how much I am influenced by this world. And how much more I need to be influenced by my true residence, my true citizenship, the kingdom of God. I don't know about you, but if God has gone to the trouble and the extreme price to rescue me from the kingdom of darkness, I don't think I have any other choice but to say the kingdom of God is the way I'm going to live. It's not an option. Not an option. If you came for a warm, fuzzy sermon, this probably isn't it. And I realize that probably a lot of you are thinking, this guy has lost his marbles. But I think we have to be kingdom people. I know we have to be kingdom people. Because that's our ultimate residence, and that's where we will be forever and ever and ever if you're a believer in Christ. So I don't want to wait to the day I die to be defined by that kingdom. I want to live today the way I'll be defined for eternity. For myself, I have some areas to repent of. And if you're anything like me and it's rubbing you, it's very possible there's some areas you need to repent of too. But may we be kingdom people. Kingdom people. For the glory of our King. It's the way the kingdom comes when we live for his kingdom and his kingdom alone. And so may his kingdom come. And may his will be done here on this earth as it is in heaven. Father, these things are first for me not easy to say. And in the world that we live in, they're not easy to live. But, oh, Father, I am convinced without a shadow of a doubt that you need your church to be defined by your kingdom and nothing else. If your kingdom is truly going to come to this earth in greater ways, may we be people who live your kingdom first. Help us to navigate all the ways that it affects the way we live here on this earth still, and we're still citizens of this earth, though aliens and strangers. But may today we remember more than anything that we are citizens of the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of light, the kingdom of the Son, the Lord Jesus, that you love. Holy Spirit, I leave to you what I could never do, and that is for you to help us to appropriate this to our lives. You're way better at it than any of us would ever be able to comment on into each other's lives. So be free to do that work. We humbly ask you these things in the name and in the authority of the Lord Jesus Christ, the King of the kingdom, the one who rules today and will rule and reign forever and ever and ever. We rejoice in you. Amen.
Amen. If you would please rise and join us in our closing song of worship together. And I just want to express some gratitude even for Pastor Mark. We are truly blessed to have a pastor who doesn't just stick with the easy, you know, happy things that we all want to hear when we come to church, but he sticks to his convictions that God is speaking through him and says that even when it might be difficult, giving us messages that truly push us to grow. So I just want to pray a blessing over him. If you would, even in your chair, want to reach out a hand towards him this morning as we just pray for his blessing. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for just placing each and every one of us in this building, that you have brought us all here, Lord, by your guidance, that you have placed us where we will be pushed to grow. We thank you, God, that you've blessed us with Pastor Mark, who seeks you and trusts you, God, to guide all of us and to guide him and give him the words. Lord, we pray for blessing over him as he continues to seek you, as he continues to guide us and support us, Lord. We pray that you would give him strength, that you would equip him, that you would protect him from any spiritual warfare that would come towards him, that you would protect his entire family and that you would bless them as well. Lord, we thank you for them. And God, I thank you for every single person that you have placed here in this building today. I pray for blessing over all of them as we continue to seek you, God. As we go through our lives, taking steps and leaps of faith, God, that you would just bless every person here and every person that they would come in contact with, God. Let it be so evident as we go out into this world that we are not of this kingdom. God, let us not be just grouped in with the rest of the people in this country on one side or the other, but let us stand out as different, that we are seeking love, and that we are acting in love, God. We beg you, Lord, that there would be revival, that there would be transformation, that it would be so evident in this country, God, that your people are seeking you first and are loving first. Pray all these things in your name, Jesus. Amen.
Compares to your